Mark Tester is Professor of Plant Sciences at the University of Adelaide's Waite campus, where he's building a new facility to root out what makes plants do what they do.
You know, the advances in genomics are roaring ahead. We can sequence genomes, we can manipulate genomes, we can do extraordinary things with molecular biology. What's starting to fall behind in science, especially in plant science at least, is the ability to measure the effects of those manipulations on the whole plant performance, the growth and how the plant works when it's fully grown. So what we need to be able to do is characterise the effects of those manipulations, the growth of the plants in controlled conditions in a high-throughput and efficient manner. And that's the driving force behind this new construction we're going to describe.
Well, it's at the seam. Is this the world's biggest greenhouse? It looks like.
It's not the world's biggest greenhouse, but it's the world's biggest greenhouse of this type. What we've got here isn't just a greenhouse. I mean, it's a very impressive greenhouse, but it's a greenhouse that's going to have a large portion of its floor area covered with conveyor belts, and the plants will be moved automatically on the conveyors to imaging stations where we'll be using remote sensing technologies to monitor the growth and some aspects of the performance of the plants.
Why is that helpful? Can't people just walk around and look at plants anyway? Why do you need that to do it?
Yeah, of course we can go around and look at plants, but there's two things. Humans are quite slow and expensive, and the other thing is they're notoriously biased in their looking, in their observations, and not quantitative. So we're getting objective, quantitative measurements of the way the plants look. Also, with the technologies we're using, we're not just using visible light. We're peering into some of the hidden parts of the plant, what they're doing in the infrared spectrum, how they fluoresce when we irradiate them with ultraviolet radiation.
So basically, you've got an infrastructure here which means that you can grow plants under very strictly defined conditions. Every plant's going to get the same conditions and it's going to get assessed in the same way.
That's exactly right. So when we grow in here a population of 50,000 plants, which we could do for some of the smaller plants, we can have them being automatically measured non-destructively through time. So the fact that we're not having to kill the plants and weigh them is another very important feature. And this opens the door for a whole range of genetic studies. It's bringing more genetics into physiology, more physiology into genetics. And we bring those two fields together, plant science is going to really get a big kick.
What sorts of questions will you be able to ask them? In what way will you be able to take plant sciences forward with this?
We can ask questions in two ways. One is to get a gene that's identified and start to ask questions about what that does to the plant's performance in a quantitative and objective way. The other way, which I think is more powerful in many ways, is what's called a genetic approach, a forward genetic approach, where we can get plants that have got different properties and start to ask the questions, what gene is responsible for that difference? And we can have a plant that keeps growing well in a salty soil and another plant which dies or doesn't grow as well in the salty soil. What genes are responsible for those? So you're asking the plants the question. Okay, you're tolerant. Why are you tolerant? And the plants tell you the answer rather than trying to sit there and be smart and say, oh, I think it's that gene. And waste your career doing that.
Which will be bad. Is this the first of its kind in the world, then?
This is the first of its kind in the world. There's one smaller version in Germany, and there's a couple of slightly different and smaller versions in the private sector, but this is certainly the first to have so many wavelengths looking at the plants, and certainly in the scale and in the public sector. So any scientist in the world can come and use this and benefit for their particular scientific question from this facility.
What sort of floor area will you have?
It's 4,500 square metres of building, and there's over a kilometre of conveyor belts delivering the plants. So if we have a large plant like a wheat plant or a sugarcane plant or a little tree, we can measure those sorts of plants because it's a very tall greenhouse. We're able to measure something like 2,500 plants at any one time. If we're looking at little plants, we could measure 50,000 plants. And given, you know, in the Arabidopsis genome, a lot of plant genomes, there's 25, 30,000 genes, you can start to look at the effects of knocking out every gene in the genome all at the same time. I think that's quite powerful.
What about the fact that you're going to have very large numbers of plants all together? How are you going to keep pests at bay and that kind of thing?
That's a good question. We have the air in every greenhouse room is completely separated from the air in every other room, and so we've actually spent $4 million just on the air conditioning for this building. A quarter of the cost of the building is on controlling the airflow, and one of the main reasons for that, besides defining the environment, is to minimise the pests. So every room has its own air control in and out, isolated, so that reduces the spread of the pests. We have, of course, a monitoring and spraying regime, which will be in place. We use biological control. And the other thing, because not only there are lots of plants here, but they're moving around on conveyors, that's dangerous. So we've got a little spray station. So as the plants come out from their imaging, they go through a little spray station and get a shower to clean them up.
And if there's a power cut?
We're generating our own power, which actually saves a lot of CO2 emissions, surprisingly. South Australia's got good gas supplies, and so we can pipe in the gas and generate our own electricity. We generate about 70% of our own electricity on site.
Can you send the fumes from the generator through the greenhouse to get the plants to soak up the CO2?
Yes, you can. We can use the CO2 for controlling the CO2 levels in the greenhouse, because, of course, studying the effects of climate change on plants is very important. So we do have a high CO2 capacity. We use the fumes also we extract the energy from the fumes before they leave the building to heat water and heat air as necessary. So, yeah, it's great. It's called a tri-generation system. You get three bangs for $1.
What about water? Presumably you can collect all the water that runs off and put that in tanks, but there's going to be some thirsty plants here.
Yes, we're able to supply most of our own water supplies from the rain. We're storing 250,000 litres of rainwater, but inevitably we will need some mains water as well, unfortunately. We're recycling all our water, so 90% of the water is recycled, and I'm proud of that. And the main problem isn't the plants. We've got enough water for the plants, pretty much. The main problem is the electricity generating plant that we've got. That uses a lot of water. That uses a couple of million litres, and we can't service that. So that's going to have to use mains water, unfortunately. But we're still trying to recycle as much of the steam as possible that's lost from that.
More from Mark Tester later.